call the meeting order.
We have approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
For the vote, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
For amendments.
I move your approval as amended.
Maybe we have a motion, we have a second.
I have a read on the minutes, but I'll second it. Grant Stewart, I'll send it here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Persons to address commission? Anybody? All business. Alternative energy? This was all. This all stuff that Craig was kind of scared, him not being here.
Yeah.
He kind of, well.
He was coming with a draft ordinance for us to look at tonight.
Yes, sir, I guess we just have to tag it out next week, or next meeting.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion to table it?
Motion to table.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the potential D1 expansion, that's kind of the same vote, we're supposed to do some homework, and we're going to present at the next council meeting, but,
Josie, has he made a request, do you know, to council to address them?
I thought he was going to, I believe he was on the agenda, or he really didn't have to be formally on the agenda to discuss it. I don't know if he attended them.
He had some conversation with Emily about that.
Emily would probably know, you know, if she was at council meeting, we can ask her when she comes back.
We wanted to put on a genie.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were supposed to look, see if they had any ideas of what the,
Right.
The Pure Deep Cottage project was going to have, or something, we're going to try to.
Keep in mind, rendering what I saw.
I haven't located those yet.
I looked through my stack, I couldn't find anything either.
I think I'll get a file in the master file, I have a dug in the master file, yeah.
Well, I think it'll be nice if we already want to review that before we go to council and kind of fumble around, so.
Yeah.
But again, I think we should probably table that being put on the agenda for January.
Unless Emily has more information on that, because I.
He doesn't have it, I don't have it.
Okay. We didn't know, no, I didn't mean that, I mean, Craig had made the request to be on the agenda, council's agenda for January.
Oh, I haven't seen the agenda, it won't come out until a week from Friday.
But is the request.
I don't know that it was on there, but I don't believe it, have you?
I didn't see it, I don't know. But I was in there.
And Nancy hasn't said anything about it.
Okay.
Even if it is on the agenda, we can move that to next month, it's not a problem.
Yeah. Do you have some correspondence to refer to, though, Alan, in terms of this letter that mayor and council and we have received, I guess, at this point?
I'm not sure we got to really respond to it, and you got to acknowledge it.
Just acknowledge it, yeah.
Seems like they have the same concerns as other people.
There you go, 1094.
These are part-time folks. This is a second home for a group of families, it looks like, who are, they currently reside in Charlotte, and they just come down here for, you know, some part-time vacation home and the like. A
From what I can tell, anyway. That's what you see it too, yeah?
I'm sure that in the event that this subject is pursued further, that we have a discussion and they could voice their opinions. Along with anybody else who may or may not like the idea.
And one of the things that Craig had asked us, that what we had discussed doing is perhaps before we started actually visiting other places, if in fact we get to the point of visiting other communities, coastal communities, would see if there's any information out there that might be of interest in terms of what is going on in other coastal communities and concerning planning. Beaufort, North Carolina, Beaufort, was suggested as a place to look to see what they had going on. I did have the opportunity to look at that, and some of their website is not functioning. As it turns out, their zoning map is currently being updated, but it's normally online. So that would have been great to be able to print that off, but I couldn't do that.
Which community?
Beaufort. Well, one of the interesting things about their planning board that I was able to get information on was kind of at the December 19th meeting, one of the items, which this is the way I'll paraphrase here, in a recent joint workshop with the Board of Commissioners, five items were assigned to the 2011 planning board. Those items were prioritized and listed below in order. One of them happened to be, let's see here, make sure I get this right. Architectural standards, another item the planning board began and nearly completed 2010 drawback was when members tried to decide what Beaufort look is exactly. As we are a diverse and unique town, the planning board wants to work with an outside consultant possibly to complete this task this summer. Seems like a very parallel situation in terms of us trying to figure out what our identity is of this half a dozen members of our community who are saying, don't do anything, we want the small town look, we want it to stay exactly the way it is, versus what the survey reflected the balance of the community wanted to see, although it's a very quiet, apparently, majority of the community that's not responding to our request for information. So Beaufort might be a nice sister city for us to work with or to look and see what they're doing.
I also recommend Swansboro. It's not on the ocean, but it is on the water, and it's more the size of Curie Beach. Mm-hmm. And their district right there along the waterfront is more like ours.
Where's Swansboro at?
It's on the way to Beaufort.
Oh, okay.
It's what, 17?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah. It's before you get to Emerald Isle.
Okay.
We might be able to get some information from Wellington because they have a business and residential on their waterfront also. You know, they just started putting some more around.
But they did the walkway.
Right. They did the walkway and they got some business downstairs with some rental units or something above it and stuff, you know. But one thing I was reading in the notes here, Craig had asked you, Ms. Swearington, last week, what your feeling was from the council about pushing forward with this. Is there any update on that maybe?
Well, we haven't really met since November. I mean, our last meeting was just a swearing in, okay. Some very brief agenda items. There was really nothing on the agenda. So we haven't even had a chance to talk about it.
Because that was one of the things that Craig mentioned in her notes from last week or last month about what the council's doing was on this pushing forward with the issues.
Well, I will tell you, this time last year, and you may remember me coming to the meeting and talking about we were trying to put together at least a five-year plan for the town, at least for capital projects. If nothing else, but any projects that would cost us more than just $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And I, the two of you may remember more about exactly what the response was from the planning board, but I got the feeling that you wanted the council to tell you what they wanted instead of you guys telling us what you had planned to do. Well, that's going to come up again this month. At the end of the month, we have a retreat that we've asked all the committees and all the department heads to attend. And one of the things we're asking is, what were your goals for this fiscal year? And did you accomplish them? And if not, why? And what are your goals for the coming year? And you know, some things you may think about regardless of what the council's opinion is, and that is you have the land use plan that has to be revisited this year. It has to. We don't, none of us have any choice of that. We have the K Street issue. Now, I don't know that any of us have a goal, maybe with one exception, to make K Street a business district as much as address the issue and see what's the best thing to do for the town. And then I know you guys have been talking about the look and the facade and everything for a couple of years. I wasn't your liaison then, so I don't know how far you got on that. I know everybody likes the idea of it looking a small town on the beachfront park. If we ever have it, it's still supposed to be the small town fishing village kind of atmosphere, not a big scale resort area. But at the same time, there's some feeling with some council members and at least one new council member that businesses shouldn't be told what to do and what not to do. And the idea of, and I'm having a senior moment here, what's Craig's favorite form-based planning?
Right.
Okay. I don't know that all the council, since I've been on there the last 14 months, it has never been discussed with the council as to exactly what form-based planning is, and therefore getting some input. I think there's been mention of it, and some people have said, yeah, I like it, or no, I don't, but we don't really know how it's defined, especially by the Planning Commission. And how does that fit into letting businesses do their own thing, you know, and not telling property owners or business owners what to do and what not to do within certain limits? So that's, I know it's been on your agenda for a couple of years now. Maybe it's time to address it one way or the other, but the biggest thing is educating the council, especially since we've got new members, on exactly what it is, and then let them tell you whether or not to pursue it or forget about it.
I think that's the key, is to educate, because I don't really believe it's telling the business what they can do and can't do. It's a, you know, when we talk about the look and the feel of the town, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we went through this with the sign ordinance thing that went on forever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you need to educate us on exactly, you know, what that means.
Well, it was really the Sawyer Group that actually proposed K Street, the expansion of K Street Business District, because the community basically said, we want more amenities, we want more services, we want a small town look, and we want it to get cleaned up. And it was Sawyers that said, best, you can't do certain things along Port Fisher, but you could do them along K. And therefore, that was the recommendation that I read the study anyhow, was to come out of K to 7th in order to accomplish that business, expanded business district. And the form base in the zoning is just to develop a concept in terms of, if you want it to be small town, how, what kind of a shops kind of a look. I don't care whether it's a real estate office or a McDonald's or a Starbucks or whatever the case might be. Everybody would have a similar kind of a flow to it, not high, low, wide, deep,
whatever, anybody that had a similar look to them, so you would have the same form. Each business would take the same form, even though it would be a different kind of business within each of the commercial units.
Well, I think it's that kind of thing that the planning board needs to agree on and bring to us, because some people may be talking Kennebunkport or Williamsburg. Wow. Everybody has to have this color, and they have to have shutters, and they can't have this and can't have that. I think it goes,
I see your point.
It goes further than just size.
That would be a quantum leap to say.
Yeah, and I think it scares some of our local business people.
No, I agree with that.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is people like Mr. Alexander here, I don't know what he sees when you say expanding the business district, and I'd say that applies to almost everybody in town. They don't know if you're talking big scale hotels, wings, you know, whatever, or if you're talking, even though they were the ones that asked for it, are you really talking about a little coffee shop, a hair salon?
Right.
And again, it's an education thing. That a lot of people don't know what you're talking about, and it comes out in the newspaper or whatever, and
they see
something else.
The Sawyer study, if I'm not mistaken, John, is where there is some minimal renderings that are in there, but I think almost a community workshop where we actually, either with the resources in the town itself or with an outside consultant, that then could do rendering, so you have a visualization of what it would actually look like instead of verbally trying to explain it to 57 different people in 20 different meetings in terms of what we might be considering as a possibility for the community to undertake or to recommend or to provide some kind of guidance that would be appealing for everybody without changing the character of the community at all. And that's what we need to do. And that was kind of my thought the last time, is if we visited some places and we saw, you know, within a reasonable amount of distance, if we went up to Beaufort and we said, yeah, this is it. Let's get a photographer in here or whatever caliber, amateur or professional, to do a whole set of pictures, cobble it together, create some renderings from that will give some storefront images and some crossroad images and some town center kind of images, and then have a workshop with the town and say, is this what you would like to have or not. If the people say, no, you know, we don't want anything, we don't want curbs, we want parking in the middle of the street, we want inconsistency all over the place, and, you know, so be it. That's a community decision. But that's what I think we need to do.
That's a good idea, not just for the town. You have three councilmen who were not on the council when this Sawyer thing was done, and we're not involved in that. And two of which I don't think have ever seen the study at all, and one who has only briefly seen it. So, you know, everybody's always talking about the Sawyer study and what was in there, but a majority of your council members don't know what you're talking about.
But there's another piece that everybody's looking at big development. There's not really any land to do any big developments on. It's all individually owned in little blocks. So only in the event of a whole block got together and says, well, let's sell our land, can anything big happen to begin with? You know, there might be one or two places that has that potential. The one in Passos, the Pierview Cottages, there was an artist rendering there having shops downstairs and a lodging up on top of it. Unless you've got a block or something, and you can't really do but so much what we have here. So I think a lot of people may be, you know,
envisioning things that can't even happen.
They can't. Exactly. They can't happen.
Which I think maybe what he's...
John, there's really only two compiled tracts, parcels, that really exist in the town along Fort Fisher at all. And that's where Fishtails used to be, and where next to the gas station.
Nelson's, and that's
only four or five parcels wide, isn't it? Maybe something like that.
Nelson's is five, Sandcastle is eight, and Fishtails is 0.47 acres.
Yeah, it's a little bigger.
0.43. So
That's not a whole lot.
But it won't happen. I think a lot of people might be overreacting with the there's not much that can happen there anyway. We're just trying to make it where if a person got a lot and wanted to have a gift shop underneath it or whatever type business, and the residents above it, they can still live there and have a little business under it. And the town has done what we can to relax the parking, especially in the business district. But in the event we do that, we'd have to determine if that would come out the same K Avenue, same type, in the back seat or not.
I think that's another issue. A lot of people are very interested in knowing what, if anything, are people thinking about.
I guess the main thing is, do we need to pursue it or not,
I think we're going to pursue it the right way. Instead of piecemealing like we've always done in the past, people don't understand it. They still don't know what the town's supposed to look like. No one knows what a small fishing, everyone has a different vision of a fishing village. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it look like? The Economic Development Committee, the students were supposed to end with an actual model of the town. They were talking about, what the students are doing, like architects do. Where you actually see this 3D, you see the street, you see the buildings, the little tiny buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you need sitting on the front. If you could, maybe Craig could help with that if you could get a student for a project that once we compile the pictures and the renderings, then they do a streetscape of K Avenue with a mixed use here, right next to it, so a residential house, and they can actually see what it looks like. Because it's not, that little mixed use project, it is a lot with a coffee shop under it. It's not going to affect the value of that house next door, that alone. I think people need to understand that. And the only way they understand is that they see it. Mm-hmm. Some people can look at plans, some people can look at pictures. But if it's in a 3D model, pretty hard not to.
Yeah, I think that's very good.
And there's got to be a student out there that can check on the numbers. That's a project, mm-hmm. and maybe at minimal cost. But.
We have plans over there that you can see that you that would like to take home. And I have a personal wish that doesn't directly affect you guys, but I just have this feeling about if you build it or you plan it, doesn't necessarily mean people will come. And I'm trying to very slowly and tactfully get our Economic Development Committee started up again, because I would like to know if we have this available and the people here want things like this, what can the town do to pursue something like a coffee shop or whatever the people would like to have there? Or is this just something we're spinning our wheels and nothing will ever happen? And I'd like to see the town work with the Nels and see what we can do to improve that, work with Mike. And I know that's not a planning issue, but it is the next step. And I hate to just see us do the planning and we don't go any further. My dream.
Yeah, if you can get some market analysis, get some feasibility studies, get an actual business plan would look like. I'm sure there's probably a small business institute through Cameron School of Business, a public service institute out there of some sort or another that's helping local communities do exactly the type of thing that you're talking about right now. So.
Well, if we go to Beaufort or Swansburg, I'd like to know from their officials how they did that, because I can remember Beaufort when a lot of the stores were empty.
Is the Economic Development Committee, they had a guy come in from the Hilton, the hotel guy, and he was one of the most fastest talking people you've ever met. Numbers. So how many rooms you needed, if it would work, if it was feasible. And actually, if you read the Sawyer study, they used the Hilton too, and they did two hotel studies. But they used the property at the peak of the boom when you were spending, $5 million on that property out there, which now is
$1.5 million.
Yeah. And those numbers, they were turning profit like down where the Moran was. They used that property. That hotel was turning profit in 2 years, I think, 2 or 3 years. Projected. I had plenty of parking. There was only a two-story hotel. It could have been three. So there is a potential out there. But people have to know. Everyone's stuck at 35 feet. You can't put a hotel on. But now that the property's come down in price, it may be attractive to a boutique hotel if you got the numbers to back.
Yeah, that's
saying, that was a big jet load, when it was like, I remember, there's none now.
You're talking about someone having to come up with, you know, $1,000,005, then now they need to come up with $300,000, you know, or something like that. They probably can get a loan to do it, a small business loan to get it now.
But that is, you said that Michael Elizabeth has created a...
You had made a suggestion that it would be last meeting, I don't know if it was a suggestion or comment, about that it might work well for this committee and other committees to actually meet with each other, as well as trying to meet with council all the time to see if our efforts are being coordinated enough that we're going in the same direction and perhaps can partner on some kinds of initiatives to see if we have common interest in what we're trying to accomplish. And I don't know, it seems to me that what we're talking about could be partnered very well with the Economic Development Committee, and I'm sure Craig could be of assistance on UNCW to provide some introduction into whoever might be able to assist us out there. That might be something worth looking into.
Yeah, and the SLAP committee, when you bring up, you know, do people want parking down the middle of Kate Street? If not, you know, are we going to provide for these businesses or allow them to have? Well, the SLAP committee may, I don't know definitely, but they may already be deciding they're going to come to the council and have parking down there. And I'd really like to see their efforts be coordinated with any kind of planning we do, or anywhere else for that matter.
It'd be interesting to see the chairs of the committees have a communication tree.
Well, they have a, they meet each month.
The chairs all meet together?
All the chairs from all the committees meet each month, right? Not each quarter or each month. Well, they work when Jim was on the council, but as far as I know, they would meet each month.
I was going to say, that would be an opportunity to coordinate.
One of the things they're talking about now, sidebar here, that indirectly affects you guys, is this thing about terms on boards. You know, are they staggered? Are you on there forever? You take over somebody in the middle of their term. Do you fill out the short term, or do you start a whole new term? And along with that goes who selects or recommends. Every other committee we're doing, the committee has recommended to us who to be on there, except for the Planning Commission.
And we used to do that.
And when, I know. I know firsthand from that. And when I asked about why, you know, it wasn't coming to you first, I was told because you didn't want to have anything to do with it. Okay, that's something I'd like to see Craig take to that group of chairmen and say, no, the Planning Commission needs to meet with and make recommendations on new members, just like all the other committees do.
Up until about a couple of years ago, we always interviewed our own potential new members. And
we recommend one.
They made a recommendation to council.
I was one of the ones you interviewed before any of you were on here. But yeah.
Well, that changed. So,
that's a little sidebar. You may talk to Craig if he needs to, if you're interested.
If you go back to the minutes, we disagreed with Kama. It was unanimous. We disagreed that they took that right away from us, and then they wanted us to submit two, and they were going to pick, and you know, we didn't agree with that. We just, you know, look, we're going to interview. We should interview, and if you don't like the person, that there's a reason why that person shouldn't be on, then reject it. Yeah, they always have that option.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or we just make recommendations.
But we strongly disagree. That's public in the meetings that it was a bad policy that committees couldn't choose to do their interviews.
But it did take some tremendous work on all this.
Well, I agree with you, and I mean not with you. I agree with you. I agree with you, and I'd like to see you be involved in it again, just like everybody else is. So. Again, that's my personal opinion. You guys get to select whatever you want to do.
Okay.
So I guess we need to table the new one expansion till we get Craig back here.
We have a motion, so.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, new business?
Yeah, sure.
Can we add something to new business, or can we go to members' items?
Yeah, great.
I believe I put an email home to Alan, at least, about the pre-board. In December, Emily and I had some representatives from the North Carolina Community Rating System come down, and we're looking into the policy, or the potential of joining the CRS program, which is for flood rating. And basically, what they would do is oversee how we do our building operations, tracking our elevation certificates, what our floodplains like, different things like that, and we'd be able to gain a percentage decrease from flood insurance rates. One of the things that was a huge percentage decrease is if we instituted freeboard in Cary Beach.
What is that?
Freeboard is, the best way to describe it is you have a base flood elevation. In order to build your house has to be at least, let's say it's 1 foot freeboard. Your house, the bottom of your house has to be at least 1 foot above that base flood elevation.
What is that? Is that number already established?
The base flood elevation number is already established, yes, sir. So, for instance, Alan Wada's house. We'll say his elevation there, or his base flood elevation of his lot is 14 feet, but the actual elevation of his lot is 13 feet. Okay? The bottom of this house would have to be 2 feet higher than the ground. Does that make sense? So, Emily and I talked about the possibility of instituting freeboard, and I told her my concerns with it. If we did a 1 foot freeboard, it wouldn't be a dramatic problem. And Alan should chime in anytime he wants. But if we were to look at 2 and 3 foot freeboards, we'd be looking at potential controversies with other ordinances that we have in play. Primarily the 35-foot height limit, and also our minimum roof pitch, which is 412. The reason those would come into play is that a three-story house is normally about 35 feet tall, and with our minimum roof pitch of 412, they are really pushing, putting that house into that size limit, especially if they want to consider having any 9-foot ceilings in their house. So if you institute a 1 foot freeboard, most people could probably work around that, no problem, unless they just happened to buy a lot or have a lot that was very low. But we don't have very many lots that are dramatically affected by the base flood elevation, so I don't see that as a huge problem. But, I mean, it would be a big change.
What would that do to the adjacent properties?
If we did a 1 foot freeboard, that would essentially make every single house that's on the oceanfront and other places non-conforming to our ordinances automatically.
But wouldn't this be for new construction?
It would be.
Because you can't raise
it. It would be for new construction, and the old houses would be grandfathered in. But they couldn't add to what they're doing without bringing it into conformity. So if you wanted to add on to your house and you're in the flood zone, the new addition would have to be, would have to comply to the new ordinances.
But the old part of the building, you wouldn't have to tear down and redo it.
If you tore down.
No, I mean, if you tore down, I mean, if Alan decides to build an addition onto his, and right now he's grandfathered in, then it would only apply to the new addition.
The rest of the house is just not.
And
so the 1 foot would pretty much take away all of them.
That would take all the way, all your room to play.
So there won't be an oceanfront house built together with living space downstairs, pretty much. There's going to be a garage. It'd have to have flood vents because it's in the flood and all that stuff.
So explain this to me, because he's been trying to explain this to me for 2 or 3 weeks now. We're looking there at Sea Watch, and we have some empty lots, and if we were to pass this, they're going to build on those lots. What would those houses look like on the bottom level?
Depends how much, they wouldn't be able to bring enough dirt in to even have living space on the bottom level.
Okay.
So the bottom level would be garage. And you would get an entry. You get an entry into the house, I think his grandfather ordered. So much square footage to enter a staircase.
Okay. Could it be a garage? Would it have to be a carport?
No, it could be a garage. It'll have to have a flood. It depends on the zone it's in. We'd have to have breakaway walls or flood vents in.
Okay. And after they finish building their house, they decide to turn part of that garage into a bedroom?
They had to do it illegally.
They couldn't do it. Okay.
No plumbing. All electrical has to be above
the floor. No heating or air conditioning down there. Okay.
So you're basically taking, like in Sea Watch, you'd be taking probably an average of 600 to 700 square foot of heated space. And any other oceanfront house that you could build. That's probably a big, the money you'd save in insurance for those people would be lost, because that's your least expensive space to build is on the concrete level. And that's the beauty of Kerry Beach. You can build yourself high above sea level, you can build on the concrete level.
What is the minimum flood height before it becomes an issue?
It depends on what zone you're in. Our most restricted zone is a BE415, which means that the elevation of your lowest structural member has to be above 15 feet.
Has to be above 15. So it's basically the oceanfront.
Yes. So oceanfront's only place that's specified these zone.
You did a 3-point depth of 60. 1 foot 3-point depth of 60.
What's the rest of the elevation on the oceanfront anyway?
You mean the average elevation?
The average.
Between 13 and 14 already. Most of the lots are pretty high. You get the occasional ones, 12 and a half, 12.
But you can usually get with the, the regulation we have from the, quarter inch per foot from the crown of the road, you can pretty much get that lot up on some dirt to get it out of the flood.
Yeah.
But you'd never be able to get another foot.
Well, you gotta remember, how much did he say if we did 1 foot? That's 5%.
I think it just depends on the number of points, and if we got points on everything else, that would be a
problem. Does that change that? Would that benefit the whole beach town or just that particular structure?
It doesn't affect anybody that has flood insurance in the flood zone, right? Yeah.
Well, on the other two, it gets a little more complicated.
I mean, we have more people that have flood insurance policies that aren't in the flood zone than are.
Because all I said, I think my flood insurance is like $450.
That's because you built.
You say 450.
Mine was, they just identified mine as going from grandfathered and something else conforming to grandfathered and non-conforming. And my flood insurance went from like $400 to $1,800.
Has your insurance agent tried to contest that yet?
Not that I'm aware.
I'd be trying pretty hard, probably.
We'll do that.
I write letters all the time about houses that are built prior to 2006 when the new maps came out. And I've had numerous phone calls from property owners' comments that, you don't know how much money you just saved. They were trying to charge me $2,500. It came down to $600.
Well, something, and that's exactly what I went through. And they said that the underwriter said absolutely not, that they weren't doing that. I'll approach it with.
We need another community workshop just on flood insurance and bring in some people to really talk to them, have our maps there, explain who has to have it, who doesn't, what's the benefit of having it if you're not in the flood thing. Because I would imagine several people would like to know, especially if theirs has gone up.
you have to bring in some insurance agents.
Yeah, we can do that.
Does he have elevations on the, left side?
Yeah.
All higher. I mean, what's elevation of 502 down there? I don't know. 15.7 or something? I think so, but what would be the, what's on it? Most of them are, most of the time when you go over to the west side, it turns into an AE zone, which is 12.
Okay. So, maybe if you get a 1 foot, it'd be 13, and most of those lots would be out of there. So it's really just the oceanfront. There's still a lot of oceanfront lots to build on, though.
There really is.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of other houses. It's not like we're built out.
Right.
So it's going to affect a lot of lot owners. So it's going to affect the value. That's going to directly affect the value of their lots. And they've plummeted enough already. But you can't put a, especially with the canvas setbacks, if you can't put, over 3,000 square foot on. Because there's been some I built on that. Now, we can't cantilever anymore. So, I mean, those houses are built like on the south end, where we cantilever a few feet. Those houses were only, they were a little over 3,000, and they had some space on the concrete level. So that's a pretty small house on the oceanfront. It's a tough one.
So what do you, is there something that formally that you want us to consider? Is there something for us to look at?
Maybe not at this point. We're still waiting on them to come back to us with a report of their evaluation of Cherry Beach and its applicability to the CRS at that time. I mean, we can look at it further, but I guess we wanted to bring this one up to you more as informational than anything.
Yeah.
That it can be done down the line, maybe from the direction of council on.
Well, I think if they can show us that we have a reasonable number of people in town who could save on their insurance and it's not really going to cost us anything except your time,
which I have
we should probably consider it. I think we need to know how economically feasible it is for our residents first.
Can you get your assistant working on that?
He already said she's going to do all of it.
She's stuck in over yet.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Did you want us to look at driveways again or no? That's something we don't need to do?
It's up to you. I mean, I kind of feel like we ought to add some more wording in there.
Do you want to put it on next month's agenda?
Yeah, do you want to just do that?
But I'm not sure we're going to have to change it, but it's probably something to talk about.
It's just runoff?
We're going to have to change it.
You think so?
Well, I mean, we don't have to change it, though. I'd like it to be a little more clear if we're going to allow
the turnaround.
Turnaround, yes. So, yes, I'd like to see it changed.
What's the issue?
2 years ago, we put into effect, or we sent the council a proposal for an ordinance that limited the width of a driveway to 36 feet. Also, the driveway can't be any wider than 36 feet. And that therein lies the problem. The purpose that we put it into effect was primarily for oceanfront. Oceanfront lots are usually about 200 foot deep. And so impervious coverage areas aren't usually a factor because they have so much lot space, even though they can't build on it. Mm-hmm. So what you run into is, especially around the Sea Watch area to about the 800 block of North Fort Fisher, you have a lot of rainwater on the road after a significant rainfall.
That's interesting.
And I've seen it firsthand, Alan's seen it, we all have. I mean, you can see the water just pouring down driveways and sheets. And so what we were trying to accomplish by that was to give it just a little more green space, possibly control that a little more. And then the second thing we were looking at was limiting the amount of parking spaces that you would be able to have, and thereby limiting the amount of rooms that you would have, or bedrooms that you would have in a front house. Because the other issue that you come up with is, you see it all the time, driveway is cram-packed full of cars. And that was a density issue, because there's so many people there. Anyway, the problem was, all the ordinance said was driveways can't be any wider than 36 feet. Any other direction in it. And recently, a new house is being built at Sea Watch, 506 North Fort Fisher Boulevard. They came in and asked, can I bump my driveway out in my side yard a little bit to create a turnaround for me? Sure, as long as the driveway is 136 feet wide. So, I don't know if we want to add some language in there about using maybe pavers in that area, or allowing, there is one more thing that came up. Another one on Atlantic Avenue wanted to rip out his entire driveway and replace it with a Hatteras wood style driveway. I said, that's fine, but you can't make it as big as the one that you have now. So he's limited to 36 feet too, even though I think that was getting away from what our point was, and so I talked to Alan about it. I was hoping we might be able to clarify that ordinance a little bit more and put a little more direction in there for me. Did I explain that to you?
Yeah, you did. You can't get down to square footage or anything like that. That doesn't.
It's hard to do square footage because we set the house back for other room. Mm-hmm. Square footage increases, so we have a bigger. So,
attack the material.
Can we put this on the agenda for next month? And well, like, if y'all would all drive down Atlantic Avenue, it's 313 Atlantic Avenue, and look at that driveway. I think it's beautiful. Personally, I think it's just gorgeous. I wish we could get to doing driveways more like that.
Well, it really helps the impervious surface, man.
Well, that too. Right. I mean, it's, I think it's
what they lay down.
See, packed sand.
Yeah,
it's but it's all in, I mean, you can take it apart. Repack it, you know.
So it's that roll-up patterns?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not roll up, it's built with
2x4s.
It's 2x4s and threaded rods.
It's kind of like the crossovers
that do us. It's happening in both ways.
Nice.
Well, most of that, but the true definition of a Hatteras driveway is put together with cables, and you're able to roll it up. But most of what we have here is you can take it apart in sections.
The problem is, it's great that for the impervious, but it doesn't help the density at all. If you can cover your whole front yard in wood and park on it, then...
Yeah. But it is a good look, that's...
Oh, sure.
It's like but a track of dirt house today.
I'll measure mine. My turnaround is the problem with the whole thing. My turnaround really should show up something like 6 feet. But it's a little wider. And you need the whole driveway to turn around. You know? You can't have a 9 foot or 10 foot. Turn around. Good because it just doesn't work. You still need to drive away anyway.
But you always have 12 cars in
the car. It's only efficient. Yeah, it's only efficient for one car, like we talked about. So.
Yeah. But I think if you calculate it right, you may not even have to change the 36. You might have to just get, you know, you might have to just change the wearing a little bit.
You will have to kind of all shoot for it. Yeah.
Maybe you need a driveway guide, so you set a driveway. Keep your cars in there.
All right, so that's going on the agenda for next month. Driveways. All right, anything else?
That was it. Do you have anything?
Wait a minute, I'm running this video.
You're about to have the engineer real fast.
Now
it's
got an air from here,
too. Member ratings?
I don't know what it fits into, but I would like, I'm not sure, maybe it's the SLAP committee or whoever it is, someone dealing with parking. And I'm not sure who would cover it, actually, but I would like to see there be no parking at all in the community except in designated parking spots. Because Fort Fisher is a nightmare. When people are parked along the side of the road for 500 yards in any direction, just in terms of visibility, danger for pedestrians, bike riders, let alone just the congestion, that's a dangerous situation in my opinion.
I'm not sure we have any jurisdiction over that.
Well, again,
it's a highway right away.
Yeah, that 13 foot's the highway.
So, it's the state then that puts the parking spots down in the central business district? Who does that?
We do.
So how, do we have authorization to do that?
I think the town could create ordinance that would do what you're saying. My only concern is enforcement of it.
Well, at least it would, you know, yeah, enforcement's, you know, you thought
always
about that.
Yes.
That's always the issue on that whole thing. At least you got to start somewhere.
Because I think we talked about it before and it came to light that 3rd Street, 4th Street, anybody can park right in front of the house if they choose to, because it's in the right way.
Well, you can park pretty much anywhere in town off the road if you want to.
Yeah. As long as you're not across your property line,
long as they're not across your property line, you have at least 24 feet of access to your lot.
Right.
Doesn't matter how pretty that side is.
Yep, right.
Another problem with K2.
I get it all the time. They pull right up in the middle of my front yard all the time, so it's, you know, I'm used to that.
Another big thing that I'm sure you've heard over and over again is we've got too much signage everywhere, and that's going to add a lot of signage.
Yeah.
A lot.
There's something to think on.
Oh, yes. I don't mean to shoot your idea.
No, and I understand it. How things can be like, and I'm not looking for, you know, overkill on, I hate things.
You think signage and the deers really across the street, people swerving into deers, which I see all the time, you know, down on the south side.
Just take the hour open the door.
Sign I leave my horn every 100 yards and I'm down every night.
Well, this might be a good topic to ask Slap to consider this coming year.
920 every night.
I'm for it.
The cab driver said it was the whistle things you're telling your bumpers working. I was talking to one the other night. Yeah. I was catching around home, and he said that he's had him on his car for years. He's never been here. Did
my dad's four by this.
Killed a lot of fox, but no deer in there.
Well, they're pretty fox bad.
Fox thought his natural battle was a deer, but he didn't.
Fox used to get out of the way.
That's why we need to extend parking up here. I'm just talking.
I get your point. I'm trying to eliminate parking spots.
Yeah. That's why we don't need to build Asian Brook Park.
Let's turn it into a dairy.
Is that it?
Okay. Well, wait a minute. I do have a request. When I mentioned earlier, we're getting ready to start our budget meetings and review everybody's goals, especially financially. And those meetings start at the end of this month, so you won't have another meeting between now and then. So you wouldn't mind, I'd like for John to maybe work with Craig, see if he can look through everything we've talked about tonight and in the past and come up with a list of things to present to the council. Because just the land use plan, I imagine there'll be some sort of cost to doing that.
Yes.
And if it's not in the budget, we're not going to do it.
It was 40 or 50 grand the last time, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah. And I don't know if it'll be that involved.
But this is a council's budget. We just do the land use plan and the council approves it.
Right, but somebody has to pay for it.
Right.
And if there's no money designated in the budget for it, then it doesn't get done.
The council has to check that there.
We'll let the commissioners, planning commissioners, pay for it.
We make a recommendation for the land use plan and then you'll have to approve it. Finish it, I think.
So, but anything you want to work on this year, you know, that I don't know that the workshops would be a lot of money, but if you start talking about things you have to have public hearings on, there's some cost involved in there, and if you think it's going to go over our budget.
Well, it's definitely going to go over our budget right now.
We need to be prepared for that.
We usually don't spend a lot of money on P&Z, though.
No, most of our budgets are Josie, any public hearings,
Yeah, just public hearings or something in there. We don't usually incur all the cost.
Because now that the attorney's limited.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we can keep him from showing up, yes.
He's here that deer that might have been real.
He's trying to recoup them losses, yeah. BOA costs more money now, I'm sure. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I mean, I'll be there, but, you know,
I have next door, but
don't expect.